cool. Let me tell you something. Thursday, August 28th. That's a day you will never forget, I promise you. How you doing? Say so.
All right, greetings from Jindal. It's your boy Jody Havnot. I'm here with
D-Rock.
Hi, Carly.
And Clinton.
Lonnie Weissauer.
Maria Shepherd.
And we're all here because we saw Kiss Thursday night, and it was fucking amazing, and we wanted to get together and talk about it, so...
Amen!
Yeah.
Hell yeah. So, we're going to just start from the beginning. What did you guys think of the Dead Eye Daisies? Yeah. Or what were they called?
Dead Daisies. I thought they were good. It's like Dizzy Reed from Guns N' Roses and Richard Fortus from Guns N' Roses. I thought they were good. I was impressed with them. Very, very solid for an opening band playing a half hour.
Right. Yeah, I love their Helter Skelter that they did. It was awesome.
Yes, it was. And I didn't even know that there was anyone from GNR in the band. That's pretty cool.
I didn't either. Yeah, Johnny just said it.
Axel must not be paying them shit if they're out there doing
right.
Well, that Fortis dude, he's actually from St. Louis. He played with like the Psychedelic Furs and stuff like that.
Oh yeah, that's right. That's right.
Hail Divine, I think.
Oh yeah, the eyes.
Yeah.
Huh. I didn't even know. I couldn't really see him because we weren't over there.
Yeah, yet. My buddy knows him pretty good, I guess.
Right on. So before we get into Def Leppard, I want to hear, Lonnie, tell the story of the day for you, because you had a pretty stressful day, right?
Man, it was a stressful day. I went to work in the morning. My brother works for a company that has a box seat, like, right next to the soundboard. And we've sat there before. We sat there, like, for Rob Zombie and Alice Cooper.
Right on.
And he told me, don't buy tickets. We'll just sit right there. And I'm like, all right, that's cool. So, like, at 2 o'clock, he texts me, and he goes, dude, you're not going to believe this. All the big-time executives at my company took up the whole fucking box.
Damn.
So there's no tickets. And I'm like, shit.
Man.
So I text a buddy of mine, and I said, my brother's tickets fell through. And he's like, call me ASAP. So I call him, and he goes, dude, I'm on my way to Riverport right now to buy tickets. They just released a whole bunch of tickets that were, like, reserved for, like, meet and greets and, like, VIPs and shit.
Right.
And let me know. I call my brother back. Well, it's going to cost us about $180 if you want to go. And he's like, dude, I can't do it. I got a kid just starting high school. I just can't do it.
Right.
So I'm like, all right, fine. So I call my buddy Joe back, and I said, all right, just get me one. He says, all right. And he calls me back like 3 minutes later. He goes, dude, we're in fifth row, like right in front of Jane. I'm like, holy shit. He's like, I don't mind paying it for that.
Right. Especially the day of the show when you were thinking you might not even get to go, you know, to your hometown fucking gig, right?
Right. And I was like, it worked out. It cost me arm and a leg, but it worked out.
Right. Yeah, man, that's pretty amazing. I can remember seeing you earlier at Dave & Buster's, and I was like, where are you sitting? You're like, I don't know.
That's exactly right.
It's like, oh, man, what do you mean you don't know? You go, like,
what do you mean you don't know? What the hell are you talking about?
My buddy got the tickets. I said, right on. It's pretty cool.
Crazy.
So, let's get into the Def Leppard. What'd you guys think, man?
I thought they kicked ass.
What'd you think, Maria?
That was my first time actually seeing them, because, you know, I always liked their music, you know, and things like that. But for my first time seeing them live, I thought they sounded great.
Hell yeah, they were awesome.
Yes.
What about you, Lonnie? What'd you think?
I saw them back in probably about 2000, I guess. And they were good then, and... I mean, not great enough that I'd say, like, I went 14 years without seeing them, but they were great. I mean, they sounded so good. I mean, people always say, like, Well, maybe they sound almost too good. Like maybe they got backing vocals like Crew does, or they got musicians under the stage or something, but they just sounded phenomenal to me. I mean, like right off the record.
Oh, yeah. What'd you think, D-Rock?
I thought it was amazing. I mean, I've never seen them before, but I thought it was great, you know, and then, you know, I thought what another cool thing was, you know, is after they lost their rhythm player, you know, they had Vivian Campbell come in there from Whitesnake. And I mean, he was even tearing up the leads on there and was playing them like almost exactly like off the album. You know, I was really impressed.
Yeah, I thought they were great. What'd you guys think of the old Headed for a Heartbreak? To me, that was the big moment of the night. It's kind of acoustic for at first. What'd you guys think?
Oh, I thought that was a great episode. Go ahead, Maria.
I thought it was fantastic.
Definitely.
Yeah.
If you guys had to pick, what was your favorite moment of the Def Leppard set, though? You got one?
Do You Want to Get Rocked? That's their best song.
That was pretty fucking awesome.
It's like badass. It's their best song.
I liked Rocket. I thought Rocket was cool.
I liked Armageddon, man. I liked that one pretty good.
Yeah, all that shit they had on the screen was a little creepy, man. It was like a bummer. All these facts about how the world's like totally fucked.
I was watching that more than I was the screens, you know.
Right. But yeah, I thought that Def Leppard did a great job, and it was one of the better bands I've seen open for Kiss out of the many, you know.
I thought it was kind of weird, though, when they were doing their encore, then they, you know, they came out with Rock of Ages, which was awesome, and then they were doing Photograph, and then broke off into Beth.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
I thought that was a great twist. It's like, how the hell can you be doing a song from a band you're opening up for? But it worked out great.
Yeah.
Well, it's like Alice in Chains Day back in 96. That drummer came out to the front and did like a little intro to Beth back in 96. It reminded me of that.
Yeah, that's cool. So let's get into the actual fun of the night. We're talking about Kiss, man. What'd you guys think?
I think they ruled, as usual.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, I agree.
I thought they were much better than they were 2 years ago when they came through with Crew. When they fucking played Hide Your Heart, swear to God, it's so fucking awesome to hear them do that song. I never thought I'd hear them do that song. Me and my buddy are like standing there singing, and people around us are looking at us like, what the fuck, these two know this song? None of us know this song.
Right.
So badass.
Yeah, definitely a highlight.
Yes.
What's that, D-Rock?
I said I thought it was the highlight of the whole show was hearing them come out and do that. Because I've been dying to hear them do that song live because I never got to see them do it before. You know, and so for me, with that being one of my favorite songs, you know, besides Black Diamond, man, I was just going ape shit.
D-Rock actually stood up.
In my wheelchair.
Yeah, D-Rock stood up for that whole fucking song, man, you know. And for him, that's saying something. But yeah, Hide Your Heart was fucking amazing, and because of it,
yeah.
We've decided that I think we're going to cover it as our next little Kiss cover that we do. So Clinton, get to learning those crazy vocals, dude. But yeah, to me that was the highlight, and you know, part of it's because it was a new song to the set, but also it's just such a great one that, you know, a lot of people have forgotten. Mm-hmm.
But
let me ask you guys, I got a couple other questions about the show. Did you notice, like, during Lick It Up when they go into the Who thing, that, like, that only Tommy and Paul went up on the spider and Gene was just, like, MIA?
Yeah.
What was up with that?
Yeah. Where did he go?
He was actually changing guitars, though, at the time, because if you notice, he started the song with the Punisher, and when he was, like, MIA, he came back out, and he had the axe getting
exactly.
ready for the blood.
Yeah, I'm thinking he broke a string or something, maybe.
Yeah, or he's having some kind of problem. But it was cool to see him.
He might have wet his pants again.
Yeah.
Nah, he like changed guitars because he started with the Punisher and came back out with the axe. He's getting ready for the blood drilling.
Yeah, that was what I noticed. I guess he was having some kind of issue. Either he broke a string or maybe, I don't know, maybe his pickups were failing. I don't know. But yeah, I thought that was kind of weird just to see Tommy and Paul up on the spider during that part, though.
Yeah, that was funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I want to address the thing that everybody's talking about, and you know, everyone wants to slag Paul these days, but I thought he sounded fucking great. What'd you guys think?
He sounded great. he sounded better than what he did 2 years ago, for sure, in my opinion.
Yeah, I thought he was phenomenal.
Yeah, I thought he sounded good. He kind of made you shriek a couple of times, like when he did, like, yeah. When he's getting ready to go up for Love Gun, he did the say my name real loud, 1, 2, 3, Paul, and he really kind of screeched on one of the when he went like, 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, but
I saw him in Chicago a couple weeks prior to that, and I thought he sounded better in Chicago. But overall, though, it's much better than he did 2 years ago.
Right.
Yeah.
Like he's getting it back.
Oh yeah.
I mean, this whole tour has been a fucking huge success. Do you think that because of it, we might get a few more years that we might not have gotten had the tour not been quite as successful? What do you guys think?
I think we still have a couple more years in them.
Yeah.
I hope so.
Yeah, I think so too.
I think we get a couple more years, but at the same time, you got to remember Gene turned 65 last week.
Right.
And I saw him when we saw him 14 years ago on the farewell tour. As crazy as that sounds, Gene was 51. You're like, yeah, it's time to hang it up.
Right.
So, yeah.
You know, I don't see him going out as a demon being much more than 70 going out there and being the demon on stage, to be honest.
Right. Oh. That always comes back to the 2.0 question. What do you think is going to happen, Lonnie?
No, I think the 2.0 is going to happen. And I think it will truly be 2.0. I don't think it'll be Eric and Tommy with a new Gene and Paul. I think it'll be four brand new guys. And they'll try to exploit it and make as much money off the changeover as they possibly can.
Right.
Yep.
You know, and I'm all for Kiss living forever, but if a Kiss 2.0 came to town, I'll tell you, I'm not going to pay $180 and sit in front of a guy that's wearing the Gene Simmons makeup.
Right.
Right.
Neither.
No. We could just go see Rocket Ride.
$10 or $15 like I would for another tribute band, but I'm not.
Right. I agree. Yeah. I mean, there's so many different fucking cover bands out there. I mean, if I wanted to go see something like that, I'd go see Strutter. Exactly. You know, and
Rocket
wait
Ride.
For them to come into Pops. I'm not going to go to a big venue to pay money for that shit to not see Kiss, to see people impersonating them.
But let me ask you this. What if, okay, you know, we talk about it all the damn time, but what if they were touring with the Love Gun set or the, you know, the Destroyer stage? Would that change your mind? I mean, it wouldn't be worth 180, but I could see it being 50.
I'd still go see it just to go see it, but I'm not going to pay that much money, and I sure as hell ain't going to go to a huge-ass venue like that to see somebody impersonating it.
Right. Yeah, I mean, for $10 or $15.
Right, because I mean, just to back that theory up, Jody, it's like going to see Strutter. Their whole show is Kiss Alive 1. So, you know, what makes you think that I'm going to want to go spend that much money to go see somebody just reenact the Love Gun tour? You know, it's just the same theory, you know?
Yeah, but it would be the big, full-blown, Kiss-funded Love Gun tour. You feel me?
I'm still not going to pay $180 to $200 bucks like we paid for this show to go see it. Maybe $50, but
right.
No,
$50.
Okay, so let me ask you guys this question then: as far as 2.0, would you buy the record for normal CD or download prices?
Sure, I'll buy the record.
But you know, yeah, just
I'll pay $15 for a CD.
Just out of curiosity, because to me it isn't Kiss unless Gene and Paul or someone involved with Kiss wrote the damn songs. You know?
Yeah, I don't know if I would. It depends on how good they sound. You know, because, I mean, if it's going to be like some of these other impersonation bands out there besides, like, Strutter, you know, I mean, you got that Kiss Alive or whatever they were, where you have the fucking Gene Simmons that looks like a Cabbage Patch Kid dressed up like Gene. You know, and
call it like it is. Call it like it is.
And then the fucking dude that's playing Ace Frehley's fucking wigs flopping all over the place. You know, fuck no. I mean, they sounded like complete ass. Jody, me and you went to go see him State for two songs. And the guy that was singing as Paul kept looking at us and was trying his ass off to impress us. And we're just like, fuck it. You know, so, I mean, if they sound that fucking bad, like a bunch of fucking Weeble Wobbles out there on the stage, fuck it. I'm not buying it.
Well, yeah. But you got to figure, if it's going to be a 2.0, Kiss is going to put somebody that does sound good, hopefully,
yeah,
right?
And if it's endorsed, it'll sound good.
If Kiss is endorsing it, then you know the musicians are going to be worth it, and I would probably buy it just to listen to it.
Yeah. We'll see how it all plays out, man. I'm kind of curious. I'm not trying to wish Kiss would hurry up and end or anything, but I would love to know how it's going to play out. But I guess we just got to sit back and wait it out. You know, that's all we can do.
Right.
Yeah, the next 5-10 years will be very interesting, I think.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Do you guys think we'll see Kiss next year on tour in the U.S. or what?
I hope so.
Or do you think that after?
Like, I don't know if next year, but maybe the following. Because right. I don't know if they're going to have a draw. I mean, as much as I love them, I don't know if you're going to get a draw to go people to go back the very next year and see them. Right.
I'm sure they're probably going to still try to get as many shows as possible before Gene turns 70. But I don't think it'll be in 2015. Maybe 16 or after.
Right, you know? With you there.
To me, it seemed like, as a comparison, like it seemed a lot like it was a lot more happening this past time compared to the 2012 show.
Yeah.
Do you guys feel like that it was a little bit more crowded this time around?
Yeah.
Dude, sure. I don't know if it's been a long time since I've been out there to the amphitheater, but I've never seen anyone that had a crowd like that out there. I mean, that place was filled to the fence.
Yeah. I turned around and looked at that lawn right before Kiss went on stage, and that lawn was pretty fucking filled, a lot more than it was 2 years ago.
Right, that's what it seemed like to me, too.
Jody and I went to see him with Crew in 2012, you know. We were on the lawn, and it wasn't that packed, you know. But then when we were still just walking around trying to find out where our entrance was to our seating, you know, we looked back out there and, holy shit, you know, the whole lawn was filled, you know. I mean, to the T, and I'm like, this is going to be a great show.
Yeah, it took me like an hour to get out of the park and get back out onto the road.
Well, that place has been open for 20 years, and they can't figure out how to empty the parking lot.
Right. We were stuck on...
Jody and I got out pretty easily.
Yeah, but we were stuck on Riverport Road for about an hour, just gridlock.
Yeah, had a wreck up there, too, so...
Something.
Yeah, it took almost an hour. It was 2:00 in the morning when we got home.
Damn.
And I was still awake at like 3.
Talking about getting out of there, dude, Clinton, your wife was fucking hilarious when I told her the fucking Code Brown story, dude.
Yeah, she loves anything to do with, like, bodily functions.
She was fucking rolling. I started laughing because I was laughing at her laughing. I'm like, holy
crap. Yeah, you should see her and her sister together. It's a sight to behold.
Right. Let me ask you guys this question. We all agree that it was pretty much way more packed Thursday night than 2012. Do you think it had more to do with the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, or do you think it was because of Def Leppard?
I think the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame for sure.
Yeah?
I actually think it was more or less because of Def Leppard, because I was seeing a lot more older people there that were wearing Def Leppard t-shirts. You know, I think it had a lot to do with Def Leppard more than the Hall of Fame.
What do you think, Lonnie?
I think it had a lot to do with Def Leppard. I mean, at both the Chicago show I went to and the St. Louis show, I had 50-year-old women dancing the Def Leppard songs in front of me both times. I think it had a lot to do with Def Leppard, as much as I hate to say it.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what I think, too. I mean, the Hall of Fame doesn't hurt, but Def Leppard, I think, tipped the scales a little bit for him.
Yeah, I think it's just a great double headliner tour. Yeah. I mean, it's like... You can't really go wrong.
Right.
Yeah. On the Hall of Fame thing, you know, after the third song, Paul Stanley goes, well, you're looking at a band that's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And I'm like, well, since when did you guys care about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? As much as you guys have dogged it over the years.
Yeah, totally. Did Gene come off the stage one time in an interview and say, fuck the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
Exactly. I'm like, why do we care about that? Why are you bragging about that?
I think they're just bragging to the tire kickers, man. You know, the people that have never really seen Kiss or were there for Def Leppard, you know?
Yes.
Right.
You know, one thing, going back to that, too. And Def Leppard, like, during one of their songs, during, like, Photograph, they showed, like, pictures, like, vintage pictures of the band. I thought was really cool.
I did, too.
Yeah. Being the 40th anniversary of the band, Kiss didn't show any kind of, like, vintage stuff with Ace and Peter or even non-makeup stuff. Or anything to celebrate the fact that it was the 40th anniversary of the band. Yeah. I mean, nothing at all. I think it was a real missed opportunity.
I do, too. Yeah. And even on past tours, they would have that little reel where they would show, like, parts from, like, the Higher Than Hell commercial and shit like that. And that was awesome.
Nothing at all.
Yeah, and we didn't even get that, you know? Meanwhile, we get the same intro that they've been using for I don't know how long. you know, with the yeah. Google Earth and then the same clip of them walking down whatever hall it is.
Exactly.
You know, I think they could have
stepped it up a little bit. I mean, even during the farewell tour, during like "Do You Love Me," they played like some vintage video in the background and that, which was really cool.
Yeah,
and
it was.
They didn't do anything like that to celebrate the fact that it was the 40th anniversary of the band. You know, and I think like the original lineup lovers are going to say, well, that's because that Gene and Paul were afraid that Ace and Peter up on the video screen would get too big of a cheer or something.
That's silly, man.
But I mean, I think it was a real missed opportunity. They could have celebrated the fact that it was the 40th anniversary of the band more than what they did.
Right. I mean, maybe the residency's the big hurrah for the 40th, you know? I don't know.
Yeah.
I guess you'll find out, huh, Lonnie? You're going.
I will find out. I can't fucking wait.
I want to find out what it's about before I decide if I want to make that pilgrimage. Because if it's the same as we just saw Thursday...
Yeah. I'm going to be pissed.
Right. It's a long way to go for the same show, right?
I'm going to be pissed.
I'm hoping it's more like, you know, something to akin to the cruise where you got, you know, maybe something a little special. Maybe it'll be in the Dress to Kill suits or something.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
That's what they're doing on the cruise this year, I heard.
That's what I heard, yeah. It'd be badass.
Man, I would love to see that because I'm a Dress to Kill freak. That's my favorite record by Kiss. And I don't want to go on that damn boat. I don't like the water.
Wonder what his trip is.
I don't like the ocean.
Weird type of person.
No, my wife got sick on the cruise. She told me we cannot go back on the cruise. I'm like, all right, we're going to Vegas.
Right. I'm dying to see what the residency is going to, you know, entail. The Joint is a pretty small venue, though, man. And do you think that, you know, you guys think that it'll be more like just a standard show because they're worried about just regular tourists? Or is it going to be a thing where all the Kiss people have to make a pilgrimage? You know what I mean? What do you guys think?
I think it'll be a little bit of both. So they're gonna cater to a lot of Kiss fans that are gonna make the trip out there to see it, but then again they're also gonna deal with a lot of residents in Nevada, you know.
Yeah, like old people on vacation and shit.
Right.
They're gonna catch Wayne Newton and then maybe Kiss.
It's a perfect comment. How about that for a double bill?
Right. Let's go play the slots and then Kiss the Kiss show.
I don't know, man. I guess we'll find out as soon as they play the first one what it's all going to be about. Are your tickets, like, pretty early in the residency, or are you going to be...
I think we're the second weekend, like the 13th and the 14th. So I'll know before we go out there what we're getting ourselves into. But,
right.
You know, I hope it's not Lick It Up and I Love It Loud and it's like, come on, enough. I've heard enough, but... You know, I kind of agree with D-Rock that it's going to be a little bit of a mixture between like a regular show and a Kiss cruise show. That it's going to, you're going to get some rare gems in there.
Cool.
But at the same time, you're going to hear a lot of the standards as well.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it could be cool that way. You know, throw something like the Oath in once in a while or something.
Oh my god.
You know.
And they change my pants if they played the Oath.
Yeah. Right. So, I mean, they definitely have enough songs to where they can switch it up from night to night, you know.
I don't think they'll switch it up night to night.
No, but I'm just saying they have enough songs that they can, you know.
Yeah, they definitely could.
Where it's the same show over and over and over and over and over again. Because even they're going to get sick of doing that.
I don't think they get sick of it at all. Because they've been doing the same shit since basically 73.
Yeah, but they, you know, they're not doing a show every night or every weekend where they're playing the same thing over and over again for years at a time, you know?
Yes, they are. It's called touring.
They're not on tour for years at a time. They're on tour for like a couple months, you know, and then the tour's over. You know, so it's like, okay, we're done. Okay, we'll do it again in another 2 years. No, it's like an every night or an every weekend show in Vegas. They're not going to want to do the same shit every...
I don't know. They play 3-4 shows a week and they play the same songs.
That's what I'm saying.
relentlessly. You know, I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer here, but, you know, you play the same 20 songs and you have 20 albums worth of selection.
Right. But, you know, they never... They're not in the same position as someone like Def Leppard where they got 20 hits they can play. They never really had that.
Exactly.
You know? I always just wondered how they decided which ones became like the standards, because they're only standards because they've been playing them for so long, you know?
Right.
I mean, I love everything that they play, and don't get me wrong, like at the show, I wasn't unhappy when they were playing Lick It Up. I was still having a fucking blast, you know what I mean?
Right.
But I think all of us Kiss fans just want more and more, meaning, you know, more songs and more variety.
Yes.
Right.
But I don't think we're ever going to get it, but so I think we should just be happy with what we do get. And, you know, maybe they will throw a couple really good ones in, you know. Maybe you might hear Almost Human or something. Who knows?
Yeah.
I mean, they do some pretty wild shit on the cruise, so
right.
Hopefully it'll be like that. And if so, I think I'm going to make that pilgrimage. If it's the same old, I'm just going to stay home and wait for them to come back to St. Louis. You know? But we'll see. We will see. So as far as the show, back to the show in St. Louis, I thought that sound-wise was phenomenal. Guitar tone was impeccable.
Oh, yeah.
And
I think everyone sounded great. And have you guys seen that? Someone posted the full video. It's almost the full show. And, dude, it's great. Have you guys watched it at all? I posted it on Facebook.
I haven't seen it yet, no.
It's pretty good, man. This guy, I don't know what kind of camera he was using, but, man, it's got great fucking sound. And I love having, you know, the next day you can get on YouTube and rewatch the show again. It's still... It's still, to me, just as exciting.
Yes.
And it's cool to have that document of that night, you know. So, what do you guys think about the show? I need some other opinions.
Well, I already said mine, you know, that I thought it completely fucking rocked. And I agree with Lonnie and Emery, you know, that it was better this time around than it was in 2012, you know. And I mean, you could tell that Paul's still kind of babying his voice a little bit, you know, but... I think that's a wise thing to do. They're obviously not getting any younger. You know, they're not in the same shape that they were back then, but they're still doing a phenomenal job, and I think Paul was wise, you know, to take his breaks when he could.
Right.
Right.
You know, I enjoyed too, and I'm not here to dog Eric and Tommy, but I enjoyed the fact that there wasn't an Eric Singer drum solo and a Tommy Thayer guitar solo like there was in 2012 in the middle of it.
Yeah.
You know, I like both those guys in the band, don't get me wrong. I'm not going to sit here and dog on either one of them. But I'm not there to see a solo by Eric and Tommy. I'm there to see Gene and Paul play the songs I know.
Right.
And I was glad there wasn't that solo break in the middle of it.
Hell yeah, I was too, man. Especially that corny like cannon that Eric Singer has or used to use.
So that goofy. Little mini bazooka.
Check this out. Yeah, okay. How about give us three more songs, bros? You know,
talking on that point too, I thought it was kind of cool that Paul said, you know, instead of going off stage and coming back out for their encore, just went ahead and played the other two songs. I thought that was great.
Right.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this, Lonnie, and since you were in Chicago, did he do the little intro from like Stairway to Heaven like he did here in St. Louis?
No, he did not do that during Chicago.
Right on. So that was it's not just a scripted thing then.
No, and maybe because of the fact too they were running late and that show didn't get over till like 11:20, so they were past curfew anyway.
Right.
So maybe he's just like, you know what, I'm just gonna take my time and I'm gonna improv a little bit and do what I want to because we're already gonna be past curfew anyway.
Right. It was great. Where we were sitting, there was like a direct line. It was like this big lane where I ran like straight over to the thing right before he flew, and it was great, man, because I've never been that close, like, when they were playing live to Paul. I've always been on fucking Gene's side for whatever reason.
But yeah, I got left there in my fucking wheelchair. Jody takes off fucking running. Thanks a lot, pal.
So I was like, holy shit, I'm going to get over there, because I could see you straight to it, and there was no one in my way, you know? So me and that, we met these two chicks that were sitting by us. So shout out to Julie and Wendy. How you doing, ladies? So me and those two chicks fucking beeline it for the little platform, and man, it was cool. I got some cool footage of it, and this chick beside me was standing on this table and flopped her big fat titties out, right? Paul like points at her and kind of smiles, and then went about his business, but it was pretty funny.
I was all right with being left there because Tommy and Gene were still walking around doing their thing. Jane came over to his side of the stage by where Paul was sitting down on the stage and was like looking around, and I lifted my hand and was like, "Wah!" And it's like Gene just like kind of looked at me, you know. I was like, yeah. So I was happy with it either way, but I still would have liked to have gone up there.
Right. I could have probably pushed you, but I was too excited to get over there before everyone rushed that little scene, you know? But it was cool. What'd you guys think about when Paul brought that kid on stage?
I thought that was awesome.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. It's becoming kind of a regular thing, though, right?
Yeah, he's been doing that, like, the last, like, 5 or 6 shows.
Yeah,
he's kind of gonna get up on stage at that point in the show.
You think he's trying to, like, compensate for all the negative shit about Gene in the press?
Gene's clean. A pussycat. Almost.
I don't know. He's passing the torch on the new generation too. It's pretty frustrating. Yeah,
because I agree with Lonnie on that. Because he was making the comment about you know how many people had their kids here. You know, and how he said, you know, well, we're going to be here for you too. You know, and then for him to bring a kid up on the stage, I mean, that's just icing on the cake. That's just going to make every other kid even more enthusiastic about listening to Kiss.
Right.
Yeah, that's pretty cool of him to do stuff like that. You know, a few years ago, that would never have happened. You know,
No. Like, reunion tour, Psycho Circus, Farewell, never would have happened.
Nope. Uh-uh. It's just kind of weird that Paul's just kind of, that barrier's being broken down just a bit, you know? Mm-hmm. I'm not sure why. I just think it might be a good PR move to kind of get him some love back rather than, you know, with Gene and all his depression nonsense. Right. You know, I don't really want to get on that soapbox, but
you know,
I love Gene Simmons. He just says some dumb shit from, you know, whatever.
Every day.
Yeah.
Who doesn't say some dumb shit sometimes? It's just most of us don't have record of it.
Right. So all in all, I would say it was a great frickin' night to be a Kiss fan, wouldn't you guys say?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it was great.
Yep.
I'm dying for him to come back, man. It's just like...
I know, yeah. I am too.
We're going to be on that high for about 3 more weeks like we always are, Joni.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So I can't wait for it to come back around again.
Yeah, me too.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, they were great, and I'm not ready for 2.0 yet, you know? I'm ready to see Gene and Paul and Eric and Tommy again.
I am too.
If not next year, the following, which will probably be 16 before they do a full-scale U.S. tour, but I'm ready for...
You think we might get a new record in between?
I don't know. I think Paul's going to do a solo album. Yeah.
I would love to hear a Paul solo album. Because he said he's going to take it back to like his 78 record, right?
Right.
Yeah.
That would be phenomenal. Yeah,
that would be awesome.
You know, it's almost like comparing something to Destroyer, you know?
So next album's going to sound just like Destroyer.
Right. Exactly. So we'll see. I wouldn't mind a new Kiss record, though, honestly. What did you guys think of Monster? Did you dig it at all?
Yeah.
Yeah. I liked it.
I liked it too.
Yeah.
I thought Sonic Boom was better than Monster, personally. But
really?
Yeah. Oh, really? I know I'm in the minority on that. But.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah.
I thought it was okay, but I don't know. That was one of the ones for me that's like, I listened to it and kind of shelved it. I've been listening to it a little bit more lately in the last couple of years, but at the time... I don't know.
I listened to it once when it came out, and I haven't listened to it since.
There's some good songs. Like, Say Yeah, it's phenomenal, I think.
Yeah.
You know, it's a good song. I wasn't a big fan of the modern day Delilah one, though, so I went into that record kind of already with a tainted view.
I like Yes and No, and I like Nobody's Perfect.
No One's Perfect is pretty good. It's cool to hear Gene just lay it out like that, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I like that, and I like Hot and Cold. I don't know. I know I'm in the minority, but I like Sonic Boom better than Monster.
Right.
Hey, Jody.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm going to have to cut this off for me because my aunt's calling in.
All right, man. Well, we're getting ready to wrap it up anyway, but all right, I'll talk to you whenever.
All right, man.
All right, later, bro.
All right, later, guys.
Later.
But did you guys Did you think that Psycho Circus was better than Monster or Sonic Boom? What do you think?
I think so. My opinion, yes.
What'd you think, Lonnie?
At the time, I was like 19 when Psycho Circus came out. And I freaking loved it, but I got to listen to it now. And I don't know. You wanted the best, you got the best. It's kind of lame.
Right. I was honestly super disappointed when that one came out.
I
was.
I mean, at the time, I loved it, but I listened to it now. I was like, oh, I can't listen to it.
Yeah, especially knowing what we know about it these days, you know?
It's knowing that it's Kevin Valentine and Tommy Thayer. And,
right. It just isn't
and, like,
cool.
Even seeing the show Thursday night, and, like, there's Tommy Thayer. He's going to play the solo on Psycho Circus. And I'm like, okay, here's Tommy Thayer in the Ace Frehley makeup. Playing the solo that he played, pretending to be Ace Frehley. It's really weird.
Yeah, he had it down. He didn't have to learn that.
He shredded it. It was good, but it was just kind of strange.
Yeah.
I thought that all in all, Tommy was ripping. I like his new white, like silvery white Les Paul. It's pretty badass. Did you guys watch the Kiss Rig Rundown by chance?
No, I haven't seen that.
You should check it out on YouTube, man. Just Kiss Rig Rundown. It's just basically they go through their rig, you know. But it's amazing, you know, I've watched a shit ton of those rig rundowns, and most of the bands use a shit ton of effects and all these different guitars. Tommy has two Les Pauls and one amplifier, and Paul has, like, his two guitars and one amplifier. No effects at all. And it's just fucking amazing.
Well,
I don't know. I'm a gearhead.
Show, like they always say, it's a live band on stage. Like Gene always says, you know, it's not, there's no tapes or anything in the background. It's just them live, which is what it's all about.
Did you guys... Right. This is one thing I noticed at that show, and I haven't asked you guys yet, but during Lick It Up, okay, you know when it builds up to with like the... Wow! You know that part?
Yeah.
I noticed that when that was happening, Paul wasn't by the mic, and I could totally still hear him.
Don't tell me that.
I don't know if like Eric and Gene and Tommy covered it that well or what. And I haven't found it. Like I was looking for it on YouTube, and that one isn't on that damn video that the guy filmed.
Really?
Yeah. So I'm dying to find out. And my footage of it, I wasn't on Paul during that part, so I couldn't tell either. Huh. So if you find some, look for it and let me know.
That's interesting.
Because I was like, that's weird. Because I know they don't use any, you know, like tapes, like Motley or anything. At least that's what we've been told.
Yeah, that's what we've been told.
I swear it sounded just like the freaking CD on that part. But at the same time, you know, Gene and Eric alone together sound phenomenal.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they could probably do it.
Eric's vocals go so much uncredited. I think Eric does a phenomenal job back there.
Oh, he's great.
And he doesn't get half the credit he deserves back there for backing up Gene and Paul.
Yeah, I mean, besides his drumming, his vocals are, you know, he's great, man. And I don't have a big problem with, you know, Eric at all. I did. Oh. What did you think when he first put on the makeup, though? Like, for me, I wasn't feeling it at first, you know what I mean? I didn't dig it.
Yeah, I wasn't either.
But I wasn't either, but it's kind of it's grown on me. And it grew on me enough that when Tommy did it, you know, I wasn't as upset about Eric, and that's like, all right, Tommy grew on me too. It's like, all
right. Yeah. Right, I mean, without those two guys, we wouldn't have a Kiss right now. You know?
Yeah, exactly, Jody. It's either this or nothing, because that's just the way it is.
And I'd have to say that Thursday night is better than nothing, you know?
Exactly. Oh, yeah.
Like, way, way, way better. I mean, it was phenomenal. And I would go see that again and again and again. You know, it always comes back for me. It's like, it doesn't matter who's in the band. It doesn't matter what they play. A Kiss show is always going to be a freaking blast.
Oh, yeah.
You know, no matter what.
And I grew up in the 80s, and it was Gene and Paul and Eric and Bruce. And it was Gene and Paul's band then, and it's Gene and Paul's band now.
Right.
Right.
I mean, it always has been Gene and Paul's band. Say what you want. You know, they were, Gene and Paul were together before Ace and Peter were even in the equation.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and not only just that, but in any band, whoever writes the songs, it's your fucking band. You know, you wrote the songs. Right. It's your band.
Yeah.
I mean, any band that I ever wrote the songs in, it was my fucking band. You know, they're my songs. I control this shit.
Right.
And that's just the way it is. And there's nothing wrong with that. And, you know, a big part of seeing Kiss live for me, besides, you know, hearing a great rock and roll, is just being there around Gene and Paul. It's amazing.
Exactly.
I turn into a fanboy. It's like, oh my God, there they are.
Oh, yeah.
You know? I've seen them countless, you know, shit ton of times, but every single time I'm reduced to a 13-year-old fanboy. It just happens.
Yeah.
And I love it. I fucking love it. And I hope they never, ever stop. I mean, obviously they're going to, but man, oh man, I want them to push 2.0 as far back as possible.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Thursday night was as good as, you know, dare I say, it was as good as probably the Second City's reunion, you know, second time around. Maybe not the first time, but definitely.
Maybe not that 96 show, but definitely as good as that 97 show.
Right. I had worse seats at 97 too, so I wasn't as happy. I had really good seats for the first one. I was like ninth row.
Oh,
and man, oh man.
I was a Raptors in 96.
Yeah. It was, you know, it could have been anywhere. I would have been having a time of my life. That was still the best show I've ever seen, you know.
That was my first Kiss show, and that's still the best Kiss show I ever saw was a 96 show.
Hell yeah. I mean, it was electric. You know, 3 days into the tour, you know, and they're already in St. Louis. It's fucking awesome. I still think about that show, like, all the time. It's great.
I compare every Kiss show I go to that 96 show, and that, even though I was up in the rafters, it's still the best Kiss show I ever saw.
Hell yeah. That's the bar for me, too, is 96 reunion. But, like you were saying, Thursday night was as good as 97, I'd say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, Ace and Peter were there in 97. But man, oh man, Kiss sounds great these days. There's nothing sloppy. The vocals are impeccable, and the show is amazing. I mean, that's all. Yeah. That's just all you can say about it.
Right.
Two big fat thumbs up from me.
Yeah.
Me too.
Me too.
So I guess when they come back in whatever year it's going to be, 2016, we'll have to redo this again, you guys.
No doubt.
Yeah.
Meet up on the lawn, party a little bit. This time, I wanted to meet up on the lawn with everyone, but it just got so hectic that because D-Rock's was in his chair for the show, so I had to deal with that and make sure he was good. So I couldn't really get on the lawn too much. Clinton and I went up there right before Kiss, do a little, basically smoke a little.
Hey, bud, let's party.
then they dropped the curtain. I'm like, fuck that, we got to get back to our seats. So, you know, we were up there for maybe like 4 minutes. So that's what it was.
Yeah.
But all in all, you guys give it the thumbs up.
Definitely.
Yeah. Hell yeah. For sure. Next time around, we'll meet up and we'll do this again.
Sounds good.
Maybe after you do the residency, Lonnie, if I don't end up going, maybe you can give us an update or something like that.
Yeah. No doubt, man. We'll do that. And maybe we can meet up at Rocket Ride in Family Arena in October.
Yeah.
I think that's a Friday, so I'm not going to be able to make it.
Ah, you suck.
Yeah, I'm always booked on the weekends, you know, so I never get to go to any of their shows on the frickin' weekend, and they always are on the weekend.
Yeah.
That's why I was excited about that Unplugged show, because it was a Sunday afternoon, you know, and I was off. Yeah. So it was great. But yeah, I keep telling Dave, I'm like, dude, book something on like a Wednesday night somewhere, you know? But his argument is, well, not as many people can make it on a Wednesday night, you know? Which I understand, but man,
You don't know that.
Right. It's like, dude, if you play, I'm sure people will show up, you know? Because Rocket Ride is a pretty great band.
Yeah.
But anyways, I think we're going to wrap this one up. And I want to thank you guys for joining us. It was pretty fun.
Yeah, it was great. Thank you.
Thanks for having me, Jody.
No problem, man. And hey, good luck on your three sides. I hope you get that gig, man.
Well, we'll see what happens.
You been talking to him?
Here and there. So we'll see what happens, you know.
Yeah, I'm lobbying for Lonnie. So you got my stamp of approval. Not that it means anything, but you do have it.
Thank you, sir.
We're going to wrap this one up. And once again, this is your boy Jody Havnot.
This is Clinton.
Lonnie Weisauer.
Maria Shepherd.
And we just want to say thanks for listening and keep on rocking, Kiss Army. We'll see you. All right, Kiss Army. That's another episode of Strange Ways going down in the books. We hope you really enjoyed it as much as we did doing it. We always have a good time doing these things, and we hope that you really like listening to them. Thanks again for listening. Stay tuned, and we want to invite you to join us on Podomatic, iTunes, Facebook, Stitcher. Dude, just Google it. You'll find us. Anyways, thanks again for listening, and as Ace might say,
keep on rocking.
Hi, Kiss fans. This is J.R. Smalling, and I'm pleased to announce the release of our new book, Out on the Streets, written by me and the other members of the original Kiss crew. This book chronicles the glory days of the hottest band in the land from 1974 to 1976. You'll hear the real tales of what it was like to be on the road with Kiss during those early years. For more information or to purchase, visit our website at www.theoriginalkisscrew.com. That's crew with a K. You wanted the book and you got it! And we hope that you enjoy it.
You wanted the best, you got the best. And if you want the hottest show on Monco Radio, join us in the Kiss Room. The Kiss Room is a monthly radio broadcast celebrating the hottest band in the world.
Kiss!
It's your place for all things Kiss and some... For broadcast dates and all information, go to thekissroom.com. The Kiss Room broadcasts live and worldwide on Monco Radio, where music and minds meet.
Kistery Science Theater. The most civilized?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. Oh, fuck me. Come on.
Respectful.
Just imagine Gene with like a washtub bass. Boom, 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 boom.
And serious.
No, wait.
Excuse me, Bob. You're going to come over and do my album.
Kiss Podcast on the web. Kistery Science Theater. We bust balls because we can.
Doctors define modern rock disorder as a sudden, intense drop in musical taste affecting all facets of the victim's lives and the lives of those around them. Over 20 million Americans suffer. Do you? Has your overwhelming desire to crank Nickelback, drink a sixer of Natty Ice, and yell at girls from the back of a pickup truck seriously impaired your work or social life? The Decibel Geek Podcast offers new hope. The Decibel Geek Podcast, the only podcast proven effective for MRD. The Decibel Geek Podcast corrects the chemical imbalance created by listening to bands like Theory of a Dead Man and Three Doors Down, so that with time and your hosts Chris and Aaron's help, you can move toward recovery. MRD hurts. The Decibel Geek Podcast can help. Visit www.decibelgeek.com to begin the road to recovery.
Someone, somewhere, is needing to hear from you. Someone needing to know that you care. Care enough to give the gift of Podkist. Tell a friend about Podkist today. Download us on iTunes, friend us on Facebook, and rock your ass out. Podkist.
Podkist. Rock City.
What's up, everybody? Joe here from Podcast Rock City. Join me each and every week as I give you my opinion on all the Kiss topics and news of the week. I talk about every era of Kiss with a number of guest hosts from all your favorite Kiss podcasts. Check the show out on iTunes, Podomatic, Stitcher, and YouTube. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter and Facebook. Podcast Rock City, your 20-minute Kiss fix.
I'm afraid I've given you all the time I can spare at the moment, my dear. You'll have to come back. Thank you, and goodbye.
I love you. Bye!